Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Welcome to Sunday Night Live.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev. Hallelujah. If you're looking for the outline, we've had a few technical difficulties to be posted during the broadcast or later tonight. You know, for most of my life, honey, I was taught that talents were gifts of abilities and had nothing to do with financial gifts.
That's right.
Sometimes people can teach things and be sincere, but be sincerely wrong. The word translated as talents, as used in Matthew 25, is clearly defined as money. In fact, if you doubt the accuracy of what I'm saying, consider Matthew 25:16 and the New English translation. The one who had received five talents went off right away and put his money to work and gained five more. I realize some people say, well, yes, but we're just quoting those newfangled translations. What does the King James Version say? Well, we're glad you asked that. Matthew 25:18. King James, but he that received one went and dipped into the earth and hid his Lord's money. Growing up, I saw illustrations in church with 50-cent piece or silver talent representing a talent. Yeah, that's far from the truth. It really is. In Jesus' day, a talent referred to a large sum of money.
That's right.
According to the commentary found in Dake's Bible, one talent equaled roughly $29,000 in today's money. One other commentary said one talent equaled about 2 years' wages. In the account of the talents found in Luke 19, Scripture refers to pounds. The Greek word mina, M-I-N-A, is equal to 100 drachmas or 17,000. So 10 of those would be about $170,000.
Regardless of the commentaries, though, honey, it just represents a lot of money,
yes,
right?
Yes, it does.
And we know unequivocally that talents are money and have proved it scripturally now. So in addition to that introductory teaching to set a few misunderstandings straight, we're tonight going to
share seven keys.
That's it.
To turning things around.
There you go.
Changing your destiny.
Hallelujah.
And all of the above.
By using your talents or abilities to turn them around. Could be money sometimes, but talent and ability, is that correct? Is that what we're doing, honey?
It's money.
It's money to turn it around? Okay. Well, yes. I'm looking at abilities here, so we'll jump into it.
It can be the other, but most of the translations has it as money.
Oh, I know. But so, are we talking about money tonight or ability?
We're talking about both.
Okay.
Talking about both.
Well, I was looking at the ability.
You know, I heard Dr. Morris Cirillo years ago say that all truth is parallel in the spiritual and the natural. It's God's way of helping us to understand His principles. Number one, here's the one, we'll do the seven keys. Number one, use the ability you got.
Amen.
One of my favorite quotes, President Theodore Roosevelt, who said, do what you can with what you have where you are. You can always start where you are with what you've got at the moment. But you must know that you have the God-given ability to perform at a level you never previously thought possible.
That's right.
Romans 12:6, Living Bible. God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. This empowerment is a gift from the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
2 Timothy 1:14, the Living Bible. Guard well the splendid God-given ability you received as a gift from the Holy Spirit who lives within you.
Second, according to Matthew 25:14, each of the three servants were given talents according to their several ability. So what we have at the moment is what, or what you might have at the moment is what you can handle right now. But you need to believe, and more importantly, God believes in you, that you can handle more as you understand more of the word and put it into practice. So we need to remember that what you have and where you are, you know, is
that's
what you need
start.
To make. That's where you start, and you need to make the very best of it.
Third, you may not have the educational or vocational training required for the next position or job you desire. However, don't complain about what you don't have. Use what you do have.
Amen.
Create a plan to get from where you are to where you want to be. If you're in sales and you've been transferred to a region or location where sales potential seems limited, then make the very best of that situation.
Yes.
Let me share with you one of my favorite stories.
That's a good one.
Two shoe salesmen were sent to Africa to open up a new territory. The first shoe salesman boarded the plane and headed into his new territory, unsure what to expect, but hopeful this venture would be a success. His plane arrived in this particular African country, and the shoe salesman began to immediately assess this wide-open market. In less than an hour, the shoe salesman of his arrival in Africa, when he quickly phoned back to the States, to the headquarters, explaining to his boss, "I can't sell shoes here. Nobody wears them. Everybody's barefoot." The second shoe salesman hopped on the plane, anxious to see what awaited him in Africa. He expected a challenge, but was optimistic about his new opportunity. After a safe landing, the salesman grabbed his bags and quickly became thrilled at what he was observing. He dialed the headquarters and excitedly demanded to speak to the boss. He said, "I can't believe what I'm seeing. Send an assortment of 10,000 pairs of shoes. Everybody here is barefoot. They need shoes." Our perception determines our reality.
That is exactly right.
In sales, it's important to understand that not every customer will buy. So create a follow-up system that allows you to thank people that you for letting you stop by. Let them know that you're ready to answer any questions they might have, and you stand ready to give them the best deal possible. One final point. As you begin making progress on your journey, you'll soon discover that you can achieve much more than you first thought yourself capable of. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 3 and 4, New International Version. "For I testify that they gave me as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the saints." Once you start using what you've got, where you are, you'll discover an amazing fact. You're able to do and accomplish more than you ever thought possible. Wow. I want you to write this next statement down, word for word. "Once I start using what I've got," I think I put this in the notes, so it's in your notes. "Once I start using what I've got, where I am, I will discover an amazing fact. I'm able to do and accomplish more than I ever thought possible."
Think about that.
That's for every person watching this broadcast or reading the follow-up post on our website. It's for you.
Amen. Number two, what are you doing when the boss isn't looking? Two of the three servants that we talked about in Matthew 25 on the parable of the talents did what was necessary to earn interest and double the talents that they were given. The third servant buried his talent and went fishing probably every day. But the point of it is he didn't go to work. He was not working on doing anything to prove himself as an effective steward with his talents, the abilities that God had given him. You know, how many employees go to work every day just thinking that they're going to do enough to get by and maybe keep from getting themselves fired? But, you know, yet they wonder at times, you know, why didn't I get the bonus? Why didn't I get the benefit? Why didn't I get the, you know, promotion? They're just prejudiced against me. For the supervisor or the boss, the way they speak about him, you know, it'd be somebody else's fault, always somebody else's fault, not their own. Yet the reality is that the failure to go after and be promoted, go after promotions, is that they just didn't do what they were supposed to do when the boss wasn't looking. God is the one who keeps the books. So here's a powerful scriptural truth for the workplace, marketplace, and every place you live. Ecclesiastes 12:14. Ecclesiastes 12:14, God's news translation. God is able to judge everything we do, whether good or bad, even things done in secret, like when the boss is not looking. If we have agreed to work for a company and purposely don't give them what it is that they're, you know, asking for in our best efforts, then technically we're planning evil against that company. In Psalm 64, verses 5 and 6 in the Living Bible, it says, they encouraged each other to do evil. They met in secret to set their traps. He will never notice them here, they say. They keep a sharp lookout for opportunities of crime. They spend long hours with all their endless evil thoughts and plans. One other thought, and this is in, you know, when we said the marketplace, the workplace, and any other place, what about your family and home life? You know, if you're just doing what it is to get by, to be a husband or a wife to your spouse, and we're not talking about just obvious things that, you know, you don't go flirting with the opposite sex, but I'm talking about little things that make them happy and bless them. Now, my husband, for instance, knows that I like to get up and make the bed. If it's at all possible, that bed is made, because it kind of represents order to me. Now, to him, he goes, you know, we're just going to get in this again tonight. And he doesn't see a whole lot of use of it. But when I'm out of town, he'll very diligently say, guess what, honey, I made the bed today, kind of in honor of me.
Most of the days.
Thank you for being so honest. And, you know, the Proverb 27:18 says in the Message Bible, if you care for your orchard, you'll enjoy its fruit. If you honor your boss, you'll be honored. And that could go for spouses, too. So also, when I come home from a trip, you know, the place is cleaned up and picked up. Now, whether it was done the last moment, I don't know. But the point of it is he's got it fixed up and cleaned up for me. And that's what makes me happy. And it makes him happy, too. But anyway, the point that, and one last question here. On the master in Matthew 25 gave these three servants talents and then left. Why? Because God often puts us to the test. He wants to see what is going to happen when nobody's looking and when nobody's around. So how we perform and how we treat our boss or supervisor when they're not around tells a lot about who we are.
Hallelujah. Number three, maximizing opportunities is a decision.
That's right.
The first two servants in Matthew 25 decided to maximize the opportunities they were given. Whereas the third servant, he didn't. There are defining moments in our careers and lives where we are given, take, or seize an opportunity to change our destiny. I believe the first two servants were very happy to be given the opportunity to prove themselves to their master.
That's right.
They seized the moment and the opportunity that they'd been given. Galatians 6:10, New International Version. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Ephesians 5:15 and 16, New International Version. And be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6, New International Version. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. As unbelievable as it may sound, there are some people who sleep away their God-given opportunities, whether it's in a bed or a cubicle, on an assembly line, or any other way. Proverbs 10:5. The Living Bible. A wise youth makes hay while the sun shines. But what a shame to see a lad who sleeps away his hour of opportunity. A little different take is found in Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17, in the Living Bible. So be careful how you act. These are difficult days. Don't be fools. Be wise. Make the most of every opportunity that you have for doing good. Francis Bacon, the English philosopher, scientist, statesman, lawyer, and author, once said, "A wise man will make more opportunities than he finds." Let me say that again. A wise person will make more opportunities than they find.
That's good.
So here's the question. What opportunities are you finding today? Are you maximizing them to change your destiny, to turn your life around? That's what God wants.
Number four, pursue every opportunity with excellence. The first two servants in Matthew 25, they were wanting to please their master. They were wanting to make him proud. They wanted to exhibit a spirit of excellence, and they did. God is looking for excellence in our efforts. You know, if we're called or asked to do something, even though it may not seem like it's a meaningful task perhaps to us, the point is, we should be vigorously pursuing it as it's deemed important to somebody else that asked us to do it. In Matthew 5:16, Classic Amplified, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your moral excellence and your praiseworthy, noble, and good deeds, and recognize and honor and praise and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We are representatives of him." And I really have an amazing amount of respect for Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. He had an enormous amount of wisdom. And this is the way he described one of his, this is actually one of our favorite quotes.
Yes.
He said, "If a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets even as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven played music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that the host of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well."
That's a great quote.
Excellence is what God is going for. 1 Corinthians 4:20, Classic Amplified, says, "For the kingdom of God consists of and is based not on talk, but power, moral power, and excellence of soul." Excellence is one of the character traits that as believers we're to vigorously pursue. 2 Peter 1:5, Classic Amplified Bible says, "For this very reason, adding your diligence to the divine promises, employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue, excellence, resolution, Christian energy, and in exercising virtue, develop knowledge, intelligence." Let's look at that same scripture in the New Living Translation. It says, "In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence and moral excellence with knowledge." So here are three quotes about excellence that we feel should be a part of everybody's thought processes and including your into your mental hard drive, even if they didn't come from Scripture. They were probably inspired by Scripture.
Absolutely.
Who's to know? Excellence is not a skill, it is an attitude. Excellence is in the details. Give attention to the details and excellence will come. That's by Perry Paxton. He's an author. And Rick Pitino, the basketball coach, said, "Excellence is the unlimited ability to improve the quality of what you have to offer." Hallelujah.
He's getting an opportunity to do that right now.
Uh-oh.
He's getting the second chance. So, as a basketball coach.
All right.
Number five, never compare your situation or opportunity with that of others. Nowhere in Matthew 25 do we read where the servant who got two talents complained why he didn't get five talents like the first servant. Second servant was happy, happy with what he got. He proved himself worthy of the trust that he was given by doubling what he was given for the master. Do you compare yourself with others, fellow employees, friends, and complain that when they receive something you didn't, or it was an opportunity or otherwise? There's a teaching on our website, haroldherring.com. entitled Seven Reasons Not to Compare Yourself with Others. Encourage you to look it up. If you have a habit of doing that, look up Seven Reasons Not to Compare Yourself with Others.
It's a big habit to change right away.
It will bless you. It will bless you. Galatians 6:4-5. Galatians 6, verses 4 and 5. God's Word Translation. Each of you must examine your own actions. Then you can be proud of your own accomplishments without comparing yourself to others. Assume your own responsibility. The Amplified Bible Translation of Galatians 6:4 says it this way. But let every person carefully scrutinize and examine and test his own conduct and his own work. This means that we're accountable for our actions, what we do or don't do.
That's right.
How we act and react, what we say and don't say. You can't blame everybody else or anybody else for your actions. You're the master of your own ship, the creator of your own destiny.
That's right.
You're to continually inspect what you expect to make sure it lines up with the Word of God.
Amen.
When you know that you've done the best job possible, then there's no need to compare yourselves to anybody else.
That's right.
Let me say that again. When you've done the best job you know you can do, there's no need to compare yourself to anybody else. Galatians 6:4, New Living Translation. Pay careful attention to your own work. Then you'll get the satisfaction of a job well done. And you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. You will never succeed in life by comparing yourselves to others or complaining about someone else was given more opportunities to you, given a promotion you weren't. You'll never get ahead doing that. Actually, it's a sin to covet what somebody else has.
That's right.
It really is. If you spend as much time honing your skill set as you do talking about others, what they got and didn't get, you'll soon find the others will be talking about you and what you got.
That's it. Think of that.
Hallelujah.
Number 6, don't bury your opportunities. In Matthew 25, the third servant, we are given characteristics of why he did not succeed, and he probably was a very negative person. We can see some of the description of his character that showed that he was lazy, he made excuses, he was questioning the authority. When you read through this whole scripture, as you know, whether he was right or not, he was afraid, he failed to do what he had been asked, and therefore he failed to increase what he'd been given. And he ignored the talent that he was given. That opportunity, he buried it. In Matthew 25, verse 18, in the Classic Amplified, it says, but he who had received the one talent went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. But you're probably saying to yourself, well, you know, I'd never hide the money. I'd mean bury it in the ground. But before we get too carried away with that thought, perhaps we need to think it through. Because if God is giving you an ability that perhaps you've been ignoring or not taking advantage of, and a talent that you've been given that you are not using, perhaps it could be said that you too are not using that ability, and you might be burying what's living inside of you that the Lord wants to bring about. You know, if God's given you ability to teach and teach His Word, and you're not teaching, or even the ability to get along well with children, and you're not working in the nursery, there might be where you're burying some talent that you have. You know, if God's given us money and He gives us the ability to get wealth, and we don't have anything to show for it but huge debt, we may be burying some of our talents. But the point of it is to stop burying them now and get on with what God has in store for your life. Whether God's given you a talent or talents, you know, it's time to use them, use what we've got, where we are, and where we're at. In Ephesians 3:7, Message Bible, it says, this is my life work, helping people understand and respond to this message. It came as a sheer gift to me, a real surprise, God handling all the details. When it came to presenting the the message to people who had no background in God's way, I was the least qualified of any of the available Christians. God saw to it that I was equipped, but you can be sure that it had nothing to do with my natural abilities. Are we watching out for what God has given us? Our gifts, our abilities, our talent, could be money, are from God. And what we do with them is our gift back to Him. In 1 Corinthians 12:11, in the Message Bible, it says, all these gifts, achievements, abilities are inspired and brought to pass by one and the same Holy Spirit, who apportions to each person individually exactly as He chooses. The point is, what are we doing with what we've got? Right, babe?
Absolutely.
Brings us to number 7.
How to get the promotion with benefits.
Yeah.
All 3 servants in the parable of the talents were given a test. 2 of them passed and were blessed with increased benefits.
Mm.
The 3rd servant, well, he failed the test and literally went to hell for it. Not trying to offend anybody's sensitivities by saying that.
But if you read the scripture.
That's what the scripture says where he ended up. Someone wants to find hell. It's the day the person you became meets the person you could have become.
Mm.
That's pretty strong.
It is strong.
Sadly, the 3rd servant, for him, there was no way. Too many believers are like that, honey. They place limitations on their lives. And that's not what God wants.
No.
That's not His best for us. I've often said the only limitations we face in life are those that are self-inflicted, self-induced, self-maintaining, self-sustaining, and of course, self-defeating.
Mm.
Mark 9:23, one of our favorites, God's Word translation. Jesus said to him, as far as possibilities go, everything is possible for the person who believes.
Hallelujah.
That scripture just ignites our faith.
It does.
We confessed it every day for a whole year. We did. It was amazing. It really was. Everything is possible for the person, say that's me, that's you, who believes. There's no limitation to our manifestation. This Message Bible translation of Mark 9:23 says, Jesus said, if, there are no ifs among believers, anything can happen.
Think of it.
All things are possible, anything. No matter how illogical to the natural mind, things can happen in our lives as we exercise our faith and believe. Scripture also says there's nothing impossible to those who believe. Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing is ever impossible. Make that no thing, nothing, no thing is ever impossible. And no word from God shall be without power or impossible fulfillment. The same one who promotes you is also the same one who gave you abilities and gifts. Psalm 75:6-7. 75:6-7. Classic Amplified Bible.
For not from the east, I love this. Are you catching this? Don't miss this, Psalm 75. You need to know it. Not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south come promotion and lifting up, but God is the judge. He puts down one and lifts up another. Believe me, promotion comes from God, not your supervisor, from God.
Hallelujah.
That is good to know.
It really is. And not only does it come from God, but everything you have.
That's right.
Everything you are comes from God. And that's a fact.
So
absolutely.
The question is,
here's the big question for tonight, and whenever you see this broadcast, read it as an email. What are you doing with what you've got?
That's right.
What are you doing with what you've got?
God proud.
That's exactly right. And the more you do with what you've got, the more you'll be given.
That's right.
To manifest greater possibilities and opportunities in your life.
Amen.
So think about that. Think about it.
And join us every morning at 8:30. On Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. We continue Rich Thoughts every day of the week.
I want to tell you what. Tomorrow morning, I've already written it. It is so good. Going to make you shout. You want to hear that again? Going to make you shout. Hallelujah.
Join us, please.
If you've been blessed by the teaching and ministry, take your mouse, move to the top where it says, sow a seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you.
Amen.
Bye-bye.